The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
I shall not want. That's love. Guitar is good in a monitor. Monitors are good. Is that my cue? Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm actually didn't like rehearse or practice on the way to open this up, but let's do it. We're going to we're gathered here today to remember and reflect on what was done for us on that cross. So why don't we go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just come before you today. Our hearts filled with thanksgiving, Lord, for what happened on that cross. God, you sent your Son to this earth for us. And as we stand here tonight, we reflect on just what it means. We might be standing here right now, struggling with sin, struggling with doubt, with worry. But we know, God, that what happened on that cross is bigger than anything that we're going through. What you gave us with our salvation, God. Just want to thank you for that. And yes, we want to gather here tonight and we want to worship you and praise you and sing songs to you, and we want to spend time in your word. And I pray that, Lord, that you would join us here, that you would speak to us, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our souls to hear your voice, to hear you speaking to us. Because we don't want to just reflect on this tonight, God, but we want to reflect on the death and the resurrection of our Savior with the way we live each and every day of our lives. So God, take our hearts this evening. Thank you, Lord.
From the ashes, a new life is born. holiness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come till the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Table given for you. It's a focus on the Last Supper, where Jesus institutes communion, predicts his betrayal, and frames his sacrifice. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out to you." While they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be. After they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Then Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Thank you.
Upon this earth speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Sing that one more time. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims put upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sin? What can in grace seals up the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, no earthly comfort is, it's only by your blood. What can wash away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
nothing but your blood, King Jesus. King Jesus. King
Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching this point, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And being in anguish, he prayed most earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying me, the Son of Man, with a kiss?" Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Thank you.
With sin and shame, I'll
hope is found here on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I.
Let's sing it again.
On holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow, and here you saved my life.
One more time.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I charge you, under oath, by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore the clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses?" Then they spit in his face and struck him. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about." Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." A little later, others said, "Surely you are one of them." But he began to curse, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, and he went outside and wept bitterly.
At daybreak, the council of the elders met together, and they brought Jesus before them.
If you're the Messiah, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. Then they all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you say that I am. Then they said, we have heard it from his own lips. Then they led Jesus to the Roman governor. Pilate asked him, are you the king of Jews? My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. But if it were, my servants would fight. But not now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. What is the truth? Pilate asked. Then Pilate said, what should I do? Then would Jesus, who is called the Messiah? They all answered, crucify him. When Pilate saw that uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I'm innocent of his man's blood, he said. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. He clothed him in a purple robe, went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and they slapped him in the face. Pilate came out again and said, look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no bias for a charge against him. When Jesus came, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. The Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Sorrow's Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' name. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, the rugged cross, my salvation. It is paid in full by the precious
on my Jesus' bill. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Oh, the blood sets me free. Oh, is free indeed. Again, now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned him and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him was written a notice. "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
Cross I cling, of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing, for on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love, and God is just. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Life have I been given through Christ crucified. Yes. You call me out of death, you call me into life. I was under your wrath, now through the cross I'm reconciled. Cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrender at the cross. You draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrender. At the cross you holy surrender. Whoa. Yeah.
Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Man, that's good stuff. I want to thank our readers tonight. Man, you guys did such a good job. Those are some long passages. Yeah, give it up for them. I thought about making the passages a little bit shorter, and then I was like, you know what? I think we need to feel it. We need to, like, walk with Jesus from the table all the way to the cross. And so I hope that you got a sense, a strong sense of what happened that night. We actually started a few... We're paying attention. We started on Thursday night with the Last Supper. That's when everything began. But we didn't just take you on this journey to the cross. We felt it together. From the table to the garden to the trial to the cross. But if we're not careful, I think we'll rush too quickly to Sunday morning. There's a couple things that I think we need to think about and maybe kind of sit in the weight of that Friday when Jesus gave his life for us. The title of my message tonight is, "It is finished because he stayed." So before we can experience Sunday's victory, we have to sit in Friday's cost. We have to experience the cost that Jesus paid for each one of us. And just in the few short minutes that we have left, want you guys to realize that Jesus didn't rush. He stopped. He wrestled. He stayed. In fact, the first thing that I want you to observe about Good Friday is that Jesus stayed when it got heavy. You heard the passage that was read about his blood or his sweat falling like drops of blood. That wasn't just a clever description or an analogy for something else. That was actually blood mingled with sweat because of the stress that he was under. You heard what he said in Matthew 26:38, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus could feel himself physically dying because of the sorrow and the anguish that he was already experiencing. And that was just the emotional anguish that he was going through. It's not symbolic language. It's crushing weight. This is the moment where Jesus could have walked away. And you read the story of Jesus being arrested and going to the cross, and you think at any point Jesus could have backed out. At any point, Jesus could have called the angels, come to his rescue. He could have been like, you know what, this is too much. Just kill everybody. I'm out of here. At any point, he could have put a stop to it, but he didn't do that. Instead, what did he say? Luke 22:42, "Not my will, but yours." He surrendered his will to the will of the Father. He felt the weight. He asked for another way, but he stayed anyway. And I want you guys to know, he didn't stay because it was easy. He stayed because it was necessary. Because he knew that if he didn't stick it out, he would not win salvation for the people that he loves, for us, who he loves. Tim Keller said, "In the garden, Jesus didn't abandon you in his darkest moments. Why would he abandon you in yours? When he was suffering, he could have walked away. Why would he walk away from you when you're suffering?" So the truth that Jesus stayed makes this truth even harder to swallow, and that's that everyone else walked away. Jesus stayed, but everybody else disbanded. They took off. The disciples fell asleep. Judas betrays. Peter denies. The religious leaders accuse. The crowd rejects. Pilate avoids responsibility. It's just like what Scripture says in John 1:11. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Everyone in this story finds a way to step back, to put distance between themselves and Jesus, to protect themselves. So Good Friday reveals something uncomfortable, I think, for all of us. And that is that it's just as easy for us to walk away from Jesus as it was for them. It's easy for us to walk away from Jesus, to walk away from the life that he has for us, the life that he wants us to live, the life that he died on the cross so that we can live. It's easy for us to walk away from that. We like to think that we would have stood with Jesus. You ever heard this story and thought to yourself, man, the disciples, man, those guys, a bunch of wimps. I read this story sometimes like, man, Jesus is going to the cross to die. Couldn't at least one of those guys have given his life for Jesus at that point? But the truth is, we're way more like Peter and the other disciples than we like to think. We don't want to admit that we would have been the one to walk away, which makes this truth even more powerful. Jesus stayed for you and for me. We were the reason he stayed. It wasn't about accomplishing some grandiose mission that God had sent him on. It's not like Jesus is like, I can't fail the mission. Because the truth is, the reason that Jesus stayed it out was because of how much he loves us. In fact, he tells us in Hebrews 12:2, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Guys, we are the joy that was set before Christ. The joy of winning us back, of redeeming us so that we can once again have a relationship with him. That was why Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus stayed there in the garden, he could see the cross. He could see what was going to happen the very next night. But more than that, he saw your sin. He saw your failure. He saw your rebellion. He saw your worst moment. And yet he still stayed. He didn't walk away. Jesus was fully aware of the suffering that he would endure on the cross, but he stayed because he loves us that much. Even though he knows us, he knows who we are, he knows what we're capable of, and he still stayed for us. When they mocked him, he stayed. When they beat him, he stayed. When they nailed him to the cross, he stayed. At any point, Jesus wasn't helpless when he was laying, when he was on the cross, hanging on the cross. Even then, he could have walked away. J.C. Riley said, he did not suffer because he could not escape. All the soldiers of Pilate's army could not have taken him if he had not been willing to be taken. They could not have hurt a hair on his head if he had not given them permission. And that's the truth. They had his full permission to do what they did, or they would not have been able to do it. He did that for you. But here's the most amazing thing about it. He stayed all the way to the end. Jesus stayed till the job was done. And he announced the job was done in John 19:30. He said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus' final words, "It is finished." Not, "I am finished," or not, "It's over," but "The work is complete." That's what that word means. Matter of fact, Jerry mentioned that a couple Sundays ago, to tell us that. It means the work is complete. What I came to do is done. So Jesus didn't just stay in the garden. He stayed through the trial. He stayed through the beatings, through the nails, all the way to the end. He didn't stop halfway. He stayed until the work was finished. Same can't be said of us. How many of us start something and never finish it? That's just a simple task. Jesus did something unbearable, humanly unbearable, and still he finished it. He finished the job. In the garden, Jesus asked his disciples, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Pretty simple request. What'd they do? They fell asleep. They fell asleep and eventually they walked away. And some of them betrayed him and abandoned him. But Jesus stayed. He stayed in the garden through the trial, stayed on the cross. He stayed for you. He stayed until it was finished. He stayed for you. The question is, will you stay with him? See, here's the thing. When we look at the cross and we look at the events of Good Friday, we're confronted with who we are, and the reason Jesus went to the cross was to change who we are so that we would no longer be a person that's separated from God with no interest in living for him. But that we would say, "Jesus, I want to live for you." And so really the challenge of Good Friday is to ask ourselves, will we stay with Jesus? Now we know Sunday's coming. We know in just 2 days we're going to celebrate Easter, the resurrection, and all that it brings for us. But Friday, tonight, is about sitting in the weight of the cost, recognizing that we were the ones that put Jesus on the cross, that he died for us. And he stuck it out for us. No one else would have done that. Would you bow your heads with me in this moment as we get ready to close our time together? And I recognize it's pretty poignant that there's no resolve tonight because we're not even talking about the resurrection. And so to walk away from the crucifixion and feel what the disciples felt, what the women at the cross felt, what Jesus' own mother felt, to walk back to their homes after experiencing that, imagine the weight that they felt. Imagine the hopelessness that they felt. Whatever remorse you feel for your sin, whatever sympathy you feel for Jesus, they felt 100 times more. Because as much as we feel that, we also recognize that we have hope, that we have Easter, that we have the resurrection to look forward to. So tonight, I just want to encourage you to be grateful for what Jesus did for you. To ask yourself, Can I be a follower of Jesus who doesn't walk away? Can I be one who stays? Knowing how it all turns out, that makes our answer a lot easier. But next week, you go back to work, you go back to school, you go back to your circle of friends maybe who don't know Jesus and don't share the same values that you share, and all of a sudden it gets hard again. If what Jesus did on the cross really means something to you, and if it's the cost that he paid, if it was really worth it, it should be reflected in our lives. So as we look forward to Sunday and celebrating Jesus' resurrection, let's remember the great cost that he paid for us and ask ourselves, would we have stayed? I think we know the answer, but Jesus has given us a second chance. So Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus, give his life for us. Thank you that Jesus didn't walk away, that he didn't go halfway, that he went all the way. He accomplished the work on the cross. His sacrifice, his blood bought our redemption. And I thank you for that, Father. What a beautiful gift. I pray that we would tonight, that we would sit in the weight of what all that means as we honor our Savior for what he did for us. We love you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this last song together.
Satisfied her hunger was, the billow calmed on raging seas for the souls of men she craved. Now sun and moon from balcony turned their head in disbelief. The precious love would taste the sting, disfigured and disdained. Friday a thief, on Sunday a king. Laid down in grief, but awoke with the keys. Of hell on that day, the firstborn of the slain, the man Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. Oh, 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 oh. And overturned his rule. As daughters and the sons of men would pay not their dues again. The debt of blood they owed was rent when the day rolled anew. On Friday a thief, on Sunday a king. I lay down in grief, but awoke with the key. On that day, the firstborn of the slain,
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Your body, the sacrifice for me. I so don't deserve it. I feel so unworthy to be up here and leading congregation in worship. But you're calling me, and you're calling us. To flee from our sin, our shame, guilt, struggles, doubts, worries, everything you're calling us to. Seek you. You paid it all for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.
for